19th century New York City was one of the most magnificent cities in the world, but also one of the most deadly. Without any real law enforcement for almost 200 years, the city was a lawless place where the crime rate was triple what it is today, and the murder rate was five or six times as high. The staggering amount of crime threatened to topple a city that was experiencing a great growth and striving to become one of the most spectacular in all of America. In his new book, Law and Disorder, The Chaotic Birth of the NYPD, historian Bruce Chadwick examines how rampant violence led to the founding of the first professional police force in New York City. Bruce Chadwick is the author of several books, a noted historian. He taught at Rutgers University and New Jersey City University, and again is the author of the new book, Law and Disorder, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Bruce, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
At what point did you know you wanted to look into the history and the founding of the New York Police Department?
Well, for about 20 years, I've taught a course at New Jersey City University, where I work full-time, and at Rutgers, where I work part-time, on the history of murder in the United States. And over that time, I bumped into all the chaos in the New York City police force back in the middle of the 19th century. And then after all these years of doing that, I thought it might be an interesting idea for a book, particularly given all the problems over the last couple of years that the police have had with shootings.
So when it comes to New York City, bring us to the 19th century and the starting point for your story here.
The craziest thing is that before the American Revolution, the British Army was quartered in the houses of Americans. They didn't want that anymore, so they rejected the idea of a police force, seeing it as another occupying army. Not till 1844, after some high-profile murders in New York, did the city finally swing around to the idea of professional police for the first time to replace a bunch of amateur constables. And like in the first 12 years or so of the new police, it was nothing but trouble, problem after problem. And then finally, in 1857, which astonished me, the state legislature fired the entire NYPD. Everybody was fired. And they replaced it with a new NYPD. Both went to work at the same time, and 3 weeks later fell into a full-scale riot with each other and to be put down by the National Guard.
You say that for almost 200 years, the city went without any real law enforcement. That is very,
right.
Very difficult to believe.
It is, and it is today. They just had a couple of dozen bumbling constables, usually who are unarmed, always afraid to mix it up with criminals, to preserve law and order. And it was really dangerous, and the criminal rate in that era, it's like the 1840s and 50s, was about four times what it is today because of that.
So what is the tipping point where finally cooler heads prevail and say, okay, we have to do something and we have to set up something to keep this from being a bloody and violent city and being known only for that?
There was three major murders that were all covered extensively by the newspapers at that time. A sophisticated prostitute named Helen Jewett was murdered. A young woman who worked in a cigar store, was murdered and her body dumped in the Hudson River, where it was found on a bank in Hoboken. And then the third murder was a guy, the brother of the man Colt, who invented the revolver. He murdered one of his tenants. And those three high-publicity murders convinced people in New York that it was time to get a new police force, tied into the idea that population of New York was just exploding at this time. It went from 20,000 in 1790 to almost a million in 1860 with no professional police force.
When this all came in, how well did it go initially, and what were the growing pains like of instituting this police force?
Well, the first thing they did, and this really interested me, was to adopt a get-tough policy. When you arrest criminals, beat them up, show them who's boss. And a really brutal police department emerged in the middle of the 1840s. And those guys trained the next generation that trained the next generation to make tough guy police sort of ingrained. And that was a big problem that they had in the beginning.
You also point out in the book, and it's important to note, that you obviously have race relations boiling over, and you have this influx of immigrants coming into the city, which is just adding to the problem because of just by sheer number of the people who are being added to the population of the city of New York.
Yeah, it is. And New York City in the middle of the 19th century, like Boston or Baltimore or any city, just didn't have the infrastructure to solve that problem. And with the immigrants, the police at that time really zeroed in on immigrants, and a huge percentage of them were arrested. One of the crimes that they had back then for African-Americans and immigrants, you could be arrested on suspicion of committing a crime. No evidence, nothing, just no eyewitnesses, just suspicion that you're a bad guy. And they throw you in jail for a couple of weeks.
When we talk about the types of crime, obviously murder, you talk about murder, but
yeah.
Prostitution, gambling, and drinking are the real, I mean, this is running rampant.
They were all big problems at the time. And, you know, you can see somebody who's gambling in one of 500 legal casinos in Manhattan is drinking at the same time, gets drunk, gets into a dispute about a card game, and somebody gets shot or gets stabbed. And these things would happen all the time. Prostitutions, there were something like 3,000 to 6,000 prostitutes scattered in different brothels throughout New York, and all sorts of guys would visit them and become their clients. And these problems, too, with disputes with prostitutes, people getting beat up, men involved with the same prostitute fighting with each other, stabbing or shooting each other. These three different areas engendered a tremendous amount of crime in the city.
When it comes to some of the figures that you write about, I want to focus on a few of them. Let us begin with Mayor Fernando Wood and his role in the birth of the NYPD.
Yeah, I call him in the book the Fabulous Fernando.
Yes.
And he was a guy who had made a fortune in real estate just before he got into politics. And he very quickly became the New York's first three-time mayor, the head of the corrupt political organization, Tammany Hall, and the fierce defender and leader of the New York City Police Department. And what he would do, like if you, for instance, wanted to be on the NYPD, you would have to kick in a couple $100 each year to the mayor's campaign fund. And he'd get this from the entire NYPD. And then publicly, you know, today in the city, when you ride or you walk around, you see like 20 police cars going by with sirens. It's called a show of force to let you know that law enforcement is there. And they did this in the 1850s with Mayor Fernando Wood. He would stage huge parades, torchlight parades at night or during the daytime down Broadway, of his entire police department to let everybody know that they were protected. And who would be out there leading the police department but Fabulous Fernando himself, waving, taking bows from everybody, tipping his hat, and smiling broadly. Now, this is a guy who a few years later tries to get New York City to secede from the United States and form its own country.
Now, George Walling is a police officer who ultimately becomes police captain. Tell us a little bit about George Walling.
He was an interesting guy because he was in a different trade, got interested in police work, and just got in as a patrolman in the late 1840s, and then rises in the ranks just through hard work and achievement to become a captain, and then later on to become the commissioner of police, later on the chief. And through all of things that he did, he gets a firsthand view of the problems that police have with the criminals and then with the public, too, and does all that he can to make the police more of a successful operation. But that doesn't really come till after him, when civil service sets in the late 1870s. It's one of the things that Walling had hoped for. When civil service sets in, the police are not as crooked as they used to be, or as tough, and crime drops a lot. Walling had a lot to do with that.
I was surprised to read in this cast of characters Walt Whitman, who I guess I knew was there, but didn't know that he played such a role.
Yeah, it was interesting to me, too. I mean, I just remember Walt Whitman from high school and reading all of his poetry and all that. I remember that he was a nurse in the Civil War. But Whitman, who was one of America's greatest poets and writers, he became a crime reporter in the 1840s and 1850s, and he worked for several New York City newspapers. And his main beat was just crime. And he went to police courts and wrote about armed robberies and murders, for papers in Brooklyn and in Manhattan. And then he rose up and became the editor of these papers. So all the stories that he did about crime were really well-written stories, and he trained his own police reporters to be good writers also. And he had a lot to do with curbing crime in the city and constantly advocating for larger and better police forces.
So when it comes to this story that you tell, what was the natural conclusion for you and the setup to what the NYPD has become in its modern incarnation?
The interesting thing to me, and it's every time I would sit down to write this book, I couldn't escape it, was that in the beginning you had absolute bunglers, these amateur constables, and then corrupt, brutal policemen when a professional police come in. And starting off from that really bad beginning, you get civil service that comes in the 1870s, and crime drops by 50%. Then in the 1890s, with Theodore Roosevelt, he begins the first police academy to train police. And that all escalates through the years to today. The NYPD today, in my opinion, despite the problems that it has, and they have a lot of problems, as does all urban police forces, I think it's the finest police department in the world, and it's a huge step forward from the bunglers that it started out with back 150 years ago.
The name of the book, Law and Disorder, The Chaotic Birth of the NYPD. The book is published by Thomas Dunn Books and St. Martin's Press. Bruce Chadwick, thank you very much for spending time with us. I thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Law and Disorder, The Chaotic Birth of the NYPD. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.